Local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here at WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds, taking you home on this Monday afternoon, March the 18th, 5:06 p.m. Eastern Time. You just heard Local Biz Now, hosted by Joe Vagnone, every Monday here at 4 p.m. on WSIC News Talk Radio, your source for local business, small business, and the local community. That is the number one business show in all the Villes, from Statesville to Huntersville. Joe Vagnone, Mondays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, here on WSIC News Talk Radio. For the News Drive at 5, top 5 at 5 stories that we are working on for you this evening and this afternoon. A Statesville man has been charged with murder. A cross-county chase ends with a crash in Davidson. A man is in custody after a chase and ramming two Mooresville police cars. The Troutman City Council honors the Watsons after their life-saving efforts. And March Madness tips off Thursday in Charlotte. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. If you would like to join the show, your phone calls come right on in here to the studio. We'd love to talk to you on air. We are WSIC News Talk Radio, and the number one thing about talk radio is we listen. Your calls are welcome. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Our top story this afternoon, a Statesville man has been charged with murder in connection with the shooting death of Tashika Aloriani. Members of the U.S. Marshals Carolina Regional Fugitive Task Force took James Griffin Jr. into custody on Friday after he was discharged from Atrium Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center. Griffin's arrest was announced in a news release by the Statesville Police Department. Griffin is charged with first-degree murder and possession of a firearm by a felon in connection with the death of Aloriani, who died about 12 hours after she was shot at a home on Gay Street on Wednesday, March 13th. According to the Statesville Police Department, Griffin and Aloriani were involved in an altercation inside the home in the 1900 block of Gay Street prior to Griffin shooting Aloriani. Following his arrest, Griffin was transported to the Iredell County Detention Center. Magistrate Chambers ordered he was held without bond on the murder charge. Griffin was scheduled for his initial court appearance earlier today. If we get more information on this story during the News Drive at 5, we will pass it along to you. In Davidson, a cross-county chase along Interstate 77 Sunday morning ended in a crash in Davidson. State troopers said at one point the driver was going over 150 miles per hour. Troopers tried first to pull the driver over along the interstate in Iredell County. They said he was going around 100 miles per hour at that point and kept picking up speed. Around 1:30 a.m., he crossed into Mecklenburg County. Troopers said he tried to take the exit for Griffith Street in Davidson when he lost control. Troopers arrested two men, 23-year-old Richard Aguri and 27-year-old Darius Edwards. Although there were three men in the car when this happened, they said one of them wasn't involved. One man tried to jump out of the car and run, but they were able to catch him. Troopers also found a gun in the car and said one of the men had ties to gang activity in North Carolina. According to medic, they all had minor injuries and no one was taken to the hospital. In Mooresville, a man is in custody after police said he led them on a chase, ramming two of their cars in the process. Just after 8 p.m. Saturday, Mooresville police officers saw a white Chevrolet Corvette at the Langtree Market on Mecklen Road. According to the Mooresville Police Department, the car is registered to Carlos Clark, who has an active warrant. When officers tried to box in the Corvette, the driver escaped, hitting two Mooresville patrol cars in the process. Officers chased the driver south on Interstate 77 until he drove onto the shoulder near Gilead Road, got out of the car, and tried to run away. He was taken into custody by Mooresville officers and a canine. Police said the driver, Christopher Clark, is the twin brother of the Corvette's registered owner. He was carrying a concealed handgun at the time of his arrest on Saturday. Clark was taken to the Iredell County Jail and given a $50,000 bond. In Troutman, Police Chief Josh Watson and Parks and Recreation Director Emily Watson were recognized last week for saving the life of a runner whose heart stopped during the sprint into spring race. Town manager Ron Wyatt thanked the pair for their efforts in saving the man, who is now recovering. Wyatt also recognized Emily Watson's efforts in pushing staff training in CPR and first aid and acquiring the AED for the town. In other Troutman Council business, the council approved Silly Boyce's annexation and rezoning request for 4 acres off Semi Drive from suburban residential to town residential to match his adjoining properties, on which he plans to build 18 single-family homes. The council approved an amendment to its remote participation policy for town council members that removes a rule forbidding participation of members during public hearings or voting on zoning issues, and a provision that stated a remote vote of a member is not allowed if the deciding vote and that the motion must be continued to the next meeting when the deciding vote member is present. Also approved was a request from the Troutman Exchange Club to hold its second annual Walk of Heroes community flag display event from Armed Service Day through Memorial Day along the Richardson Greenway. Also approved a high-density watershed permit for the Dorian, which is a senior apartment project to be located on the southwest corner of Tally and Lytton Streets. More approvals: the Southern Corrosion Company water tank maintenance contract for $44,000 for the first year of service, with subsequent years rising to the total of the prior year's cost, plus the percentage of change in the consumer price index. Also approved, an agreement for a temporary employment position to purge outdated records. Also approved, a text amendment to the parking provisions that creates a new section requiring commercial parking lot maintenance. And also approved George Harris for a 3-year term on the Design Review Board. In Cornelius, the Lake Norman Marine Commission, in partnership with the North Carolina State Aquatic Plant Management Program, will begin surveying Lake Norman the week of March 25th for Lingbiat, an unsightly blue-green algae that wreaks havoc with boaters and swimmers. People can report its presence to help create an effective treatment plan. Even if Lingbiat has not yet appeared this year, the commission asked it to be reported where it was appearing last year. Bob Menzel and Bob Watson, who are Peninsula residents, helped organize the charge against Lingbiat, said reporting now is critical to success in eradicating the growth. Treatments are scheduled to begin in mid-April. In Lincolnton, Lincoln County leaders have concerns about the future of a dam supporting a small lake near High Shoals. The Carpenters Lake Dam is along Mirror Lake Drive in southern Lincoln County. We will have more from this story and details about the dam after the break. You are listening to the News Drive at 5 here at WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds, taking you home on this Monday afternoon. We'll be back right after this.
Keep it here. We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick straight ahead on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call 844-STUDIO-4 now to join in the conversation on the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5. I am Patrick Reynolds, taking you home. To hear. I'm not sure why. Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here at WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining with us. As she said, as we came back from the break, a little double recording there, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Get you live on air with us at WSIC News. Thanks for tuning in to the News Drive at 5 as we take you home on this Monday afternoon. As we were saying before the break, in Lincolnton, Lincoln County leaders have concerns about the future of a dam supporting a small lake near High Shoals. The Carpenters Lake Dam is along Mirror Lake Drive in southern Lincoln County. On March the 11th, Lincoln County Emergency Management learned of a potential problem with the structure. Officials say an ensuing inspection of the dam at 9 p.m. that same day discovered its emergency overflow pipe had eroded. Upon learning of the issues, local authorities immediately closed the road to through traffic at 9:30 p.m. The North Carolina Department of Transportation was notified and installed permanent road barricades. LCEM also notified the North Carolina Emergency Management regarding the concerns. The incident was deemed as a Priority 1 incident until further investigation by the Department of Environmental Quality. The next morning, North Carolina Dam Safety Team conducted an inspection at 11 a.m., and they told county officials that the dam is not in immediate danger of failure. The dam safety team is contacting the owner to recommend immediate actions to mitigate further degradation of the dam structure. The department is concerned that additional rains or flooding could potentially weaken the dam structure, causing a dam failure. Here locally, as temperatures rise in the Carolinas, cold-blooded wildlife will be waking up and snake season will soon be upon us. A reminder that the majority of the native snakes are completely harmless, and all of the snakes in North Carolina perform vital services for us and the ecosystem. While there are six venomous species in the Carolinas, only one calls Iredell County home. It's the Eastern Copperhead. While just the name may cause some fear, these snakes are just as scared of you as you are of them. They are not the monsters that people make them out to be, and even if you were to be bitten by one of these snakes, their bites are rarely fatal. Keep in mind that the majority of bites happen when you try to harm a snake or when you place your hands or feet somewhere without looking first. The best way to avoid conflicts is to declutter the yard and be aware of the surroundings when working outside, which overall isn't a bad habit to get into these days. And if you do happen to encounter a snake this spring, please try to let it go about its business. If you absolutely must move a snake or are thinking of ending its life, please contact the Carolina Reptile Center and they will come out free of charge, no judgments, and no questions asked. So if you see some snakes, give the Carolina Reptile Center a call. In Charlotte, it's March Madness in the Queen City, and come Thursday, Uptown will be filled with college basketball fans. The Charlotte 49ers will host first and second round games at the Spectrum Center this week for the men's NCAA tournament. The teams were announced Sunday. Thursday's first round games will tip off at 12:15 p.m. when number 8 seed Mississippi State will take on 9 seed Michigan State. Then at 2:45 p.m., the number 1 seed UNC Tar Heels will face the winner of the Howard Wagner matchup that's scheduled for tomorrow. At 6:50 p.m. on Thursday, number 7 Texas will hit the court against the winner of the Virginia and Colorado State game. Rounding out the day, number 2 Tennessee will tip off against number 15 St. Peter's at 9:20 p.m. The two second-round games will be played on Saturday with times to be determined. Meanwhile, with the rollout of online sports betting last week, more people will be able to legally gamble on the games than ever before. The American Gaming Association predicts $2.7 billion will be bet on the men's and women's games. According to GeoComply, North Carolina saw 5.3 million geolocation checks among 370,000 new accounts within the first 2 days of sports betting last week. Now, experts are reminding bettors to only use the approved apps and websites as scammers are out in full force looking to make an extra dollar during March Madness. Juliana O'Rourke with the Better Business Bureau said, quote, "You enter your information, your credit card, you make a bet, and you never hear from them again. and never get your money back. Your identity could potentially be stolen because they have all your information as well. End quote. So please only use approved apps and websites. A deliberative forum on guns in America. How should we balance concerns about gun rights and gun risks? Is being held on Tuesday, April the 2nd from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the Lilly Gallery at Davidson College and also online. The forum will begin with a panel of advocates and experts with different views on this topic who will explore their areas of agreement and disagreement about the costs and benefits of different approaches to gun rights and gun regulations. Panelists include Shannon Klug, who is a former Air Force colonel with Moms Demand Action, Be Smart, and Everytown Veterans Advisory Council. Philip Smith, who is the president of the National African Americans Gun Association. Ray Knopfstein, Future of Freedom Fellow and Senior Editor at a nonprofit focusing on state-level policy and former Second Amendment Research Fellow at the John Locke Foundation. And the fourth panelist, Dominic Erdozian, Research Fellow at Emory University and author of One Nation Under Guns, How Gun Culture Distorts Our Culture and Threatens Our Democracy. The panel will be moderated by Dan Aldridge, Professor of History. Following the panel discussion, both online and in-person forum attendees will have the opportunity to deliberate among the topic among themselves. Find out more about the event, learn about the panelists' backgrounds, and sign up to attend the forum by March 28th. Virtual and in-person registration options are available. In Huntersville, Discovery Place Science and Discovery Place Kids will celebrate the 2024 solar eclipse with interactive eclipse and astronomy-themed activities leading up to the celestial event on April the 8th. Each museum will offer a variety of outdoor activities free to the public and host viewing parties on their respective parking decks. Beginning April the 1st, which falls during spring break for Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools, Discovery Place Science invites visitors of all ages to participate in hands-on educational STEM demonstrations and activities related to sun science. Ranging from solar story times to eclipse design challenges to a new feature in the museum's state-of-the-art planetarium, a complete list of activities is posted on the Discovery Place Science website. Discovery Place Kids in Huntersville is closed on Mondays, but the Children's Museum will also celebrate Eclipse Day through storytelling and hands-on activities, like painting with sunscreen and crafting UV bracelets, and this is in a partnership with the town of Huntersville. Events will take place on top of the museum's parking deck from noon to 4 p.m. and will be free and open to the public. However, advanced reservations are required. Reservations can be made through the Discovery Place Kids Huntersville website. A limited number of free eclipse glasses will be distributed to those joining the activities on the parking deck. Those glasses are while supplies last. Charlotte will experience an 83.4% partial solar eclipse that will begin at 1:54 p.m. and last for approximately 2.5 hours and will conclude at 4:26 p.m. Maximum obscurity will take place at 3:11 p.m. The eclipse celebration will include two viewing parties on April 8th in Charlotte, one on top of the Discovery Place Science parking deck and the other in the IMAX Dome Theater for a live stream event featuring the eclipse in its totality. Leading up to the viewing parties, eclipse-focused demonstrations and activities will take place both inside and outside of the museum during regular hours. Outdoor eclipse activities will be available to the public at no charge. Tickets to Discovery Place Science will be available for those who wish to continue the learning experience inside the building. You can check the museum's website at discoveryplace.org for the most up-to-date information regarding Eclipse Day programming. The Mooresville Police Department will hold its semi-annual free shredding event on Saturday, April the 27th. The event is set from 9 a.m. to noon in the Mooresville Police Department public parking lot on Charlotte Highway. The public is encouraged to bring no longer needed documents or records containing personal information such as bank statements or tax documents for secure disposal. Proper disposal of documents containing personal information may help prevent individuals falling victim to identity theft. In Iredell County, Energy United is excited to announce its four delegates for the 2024 Electric Cooperative Youth Tour and Cooperative Leadership Camp programs. Abby Thompson of Lexington and Jacob Denham of Statesville represent Energy United in Washington, D.C. in June as part of the Electric Cooperative Youth Tour program, while Ava Wilkinson of Mooresville and Isaiah Thompson of Statesville will participate in Cooperative Leadership Camp. We'll have more info on this story with Energy United. You're listening to the News Drive at 5 and WSIC. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and we will be back right after this.
We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds in just a moment on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds, taking you home on this March 18th, 2024, 5:35 p.m. Eastern Time, 844 Studio 4, 844-788-3464. Gets you live on the air here with the WSIC News Talk team. We would love to talk to you. Picking up our story before the break, where the delegates for the 2024 Youth Tour and Cooperative Leadership Camp were chosen in Iredell County. Energy United is excited to announce the four delegates for the Youth Tour and the Leadership Camp. We'll go over them again. Abby Thompson of Lexington and Jacob Denham of Statesville will represent Energy United in Washington, D.C. in June as part of the Electric Cooperative Youth Tour program. Ava Wilkinson of Mooresville and Isaiah Thompson of Statesville will participate in Cooperative Leadership Camp. Denham and Thompson will join hundreds of students representing electric cooperatives across the U.S. in Washington, D.C. for the Electric Cooperative Youth Tour. This program offers students the opportunity to visit the nation's capital and learn more about electric cooperatives, meet and interact with congressional leaders, visit national monuments, and tour many Smithsonian museums. Denham, a junior at South Iredell High, is enrolled in the International Baccalaureate program and is pursuing a career pathway in business and finance. He is also a member of Future Business Leaders of America and was a leader in the FBLA National Stock Market Competition. Thompson, a sophomore at Central Davidson High, plans to pursue a dual enrollment program through Davidson-Davie Community College as part of a STEM-focused career pathway. She also is engaged in many sports and enjoys playing basketball, soccer, and volleyball. Cooperative Leadership Camp is a week-long youth leadership experience hosted by the Cooperative Council of North Carolina, leverages engaging, hands-on activities to help students understand the value of the cooperative business model. Thompson, a homeschool sophomore, participated in a mock government leadership program called Teen Pact in 2022. He also has demonstrated a commitment to community service by volunteering through Special Olympics and by completing home repairs and other acts of service. Wilkinson, a sophomore at Pine Lake Preparatory, participates in Model UN and the Exchange Excel Club. She has participated in multiple service projects that have focused on providing free meals to veterans and organizing food donations for local nonprofit organizations. In Statesville, the 2024 Spring Art Crawl will take place Saturday, March the 23rd in downtown. In a departure from tradition, this year's Spring Art Crawl embraces the world of crafty arts. This intentional pivot promises to offer an even more eclectic array of pieces, ensuring a diverse and delightful shopping experience for all attendees. This free event is open to everyone. Attendees are invited to engage with artists and take in various artistic styles and mediums. A detailed program and map will be available at each location, guiding visitors to all the hot spots and listing the participating artists. A complimentary trolley will be available. Art Crawl is a vibrant initiative to draw people into undiscovered businesses and encourage a return to folks who already love downtown Statesville. A full lineup of live performances are scheduled during Spring Art Crawl. Visit downtownstatesvillenc.org. In Mooresville, after the success of the inaugural event, the Mooresville Day Festival is set to return to downtown on March 23rd. Yep, the same day as the Statesville Art Crawl. The festival, which has initially introduced as part of Town of Mooresville's 150th anniversary celebration, has now become a cherished tradition for residents and visitors alike. This year's festival features family-friendly activities such as amusement rides, carnival games, gem mining, inflatables, train rides, face painting, balloon animals, live performances, and more. An artisan market with more than 65 vendors will offer attendees an array of unique handmade items crafted by talented local artisans. And all attendees can embark on a journey in a walkthrough Adventure to Oz experience presented by Sigmund Theatrical. Festival attendees can indulge in a selection of cuisine from local food trucks and downtown eateries, offering up the very best in culinary delights. Local breweries will also be on site for beer and wine enthusiasts. The stage will feature performances by local dance groups and other organizations, as well as showcase a school mascot dance-off, where local school mascots compete to see who has the best moves. A park and ride shuttle will be offered throughout the event. The shuttle will pick up attendees at the One Mooresville Center, located at West Iredell Avenue, and drop off at the Charles Mack Citizens Center on Main Street. The shuttle will run every 10 to 15 minutes continuously through the event. A park and map, event map, and other information is available at mooresvilleday.com. In Denver, a teen has earned the Girl Scout Gold Award, the highest achievement a Girl Scout can earn. Carly Roberts, a member of Girl Scout Troop 2307 in the Girl Scouts Carolinas Peaks to Piedmont Council, developed a STEM-based curriculum targeting 4th through 8th grade students that was offered during summer camp at the Lincoln County's Sally YMCA. The program focused on coding and robotics while incorporating fun activities using a Lego education spike kit. Girls in high school are able to earn their Girl Scout Gold Award by creating sustainable change on a community or world issue. Gold Award Girl Scouts addresses the root cause of a problem, plan and implement innovative solutions to drive change and lead a team of people to success. Each girl must dedicate a minimum of 80 hours to planning and carrying out her project, which must benefit the community and have a long-lasting impact. As they take action to transform their world, Gold Award Girl Scouts gain tangible skills and prove they are the leaders our community and world need. Gold Award Girl Scouts from Girl Scouts Carolina Peaks to Piedmont have created community gardens, addressed issues in foster care, combated bullying in schools, and much more. Jennifer Wilcox, CEO for Girl Scouts Carolina's Peaks to Piedmont, said, quote, "Earning the Girl Scout Gold Award designation is truly a remarkable achievement. It is the culmination of so many things. From a girl's self-discipline and leadership abilities to time management, with the creativity, initiative, and mastery of skills it takes to complete these type of projects," end quote. Recapping some of our earlier top stories tonight on the News Drive at 5, a Statesville man has been charged with murder in connection to the shooting death of Tashika Alariani. Members of the U.S. Marshals Carolina Regional Fugitive Task Force took James Griffin Jr. into custody on Friday after he was discharged from Atrium, Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center. Griffin's arrest was announced in a news release by the Statesville Police Department. Griffin is charged with first-degree murder and possession of a firearm by a felon in connection with the death of Alariani, who died about 12 hours after she was shot at a home on Gay Street on Wednesday, March the 13th. According to Statesville Police Department, Griffin and Aliriani were involved in an altercation inside a home in the 1900 block of Gay Street prior to Griffin shooting Aliriani. Following his arrest, Griffin was transported to the Iredell County Detention Center. Magistrate Chambers ordered he be held without bond on the murder charge. Griffin was scheduled for his initial court appearance earlier today. In Davidson, a cross-county chase along Interstate 77 Sunday morning ended in a crash in Davidson. State troopers said at one point the driver was going over 150 miles per hour. Troopers first tried to pull the driver over along the interstate in Iredell County, then said he was going around 100 miles per hour at that point and kept picking up speed. We'll have more details on this story after the break. I am Patrick Reynolds. You are listening to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stick around for more of the News Drive at 5, coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now, back to more of the News Drive at 5 with your host, Patrick Reynolds, on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5. Here on WSIC News Talk Radio, I am Patrick Reynolds on the commute home with you on this Monday, March the 18th, 2024, day after St. Patrick's Day, 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time, 844 Studio 4, 844-788-3464. Get you live and on the air. Your voice will be heard. Back to the story about the crash in Davidson. A cross-county chase along Interstate 77 Sunday morning ended in a crash in Davidson. State troopers said at one point the driver was going over 150 miles per hour. Troopers first tried to pull the driver over along the interstate in Iredell County. They said he was going around 100 miles per hour at that point and kept picking up speed. Around 1:30 a.m., he crossed into Mecklenburg County. Troopers said he tried to take the exit for Griffith Street in Davidson when he lost control. Troopers arrested two men, 23-year-old Richard Aguirre and 27-year-old Darius Edwards. Although there were three men in the car when this happened, they said one of them wasn't involved. One man tried to jump out of the car and run, but they were able to catch him. Troopers also found a gun in the car and said one of the men had ties to gang activity in North Carolina. According to medic, they all had minor injuries and no one was taken to the hospital. In Mooresville, a man is in custody after police said he led them on a chase, ramming two of their cars in the process. Just after 8 p.m. Saturday, Mooresville police officers saw a white Chevrolet Corvette at the Langtree Market on Mecklen Road. According to Mooresville Police Department, the car is registered to Carlos Clark, who has an active warrant. When officers tried to box in the Corvette, the driver escaped, hitting two Mooresville patrol cars in the process. Officers chased the driver south on Interstate 77 until he drove onto the shoulder near Gilead Road, got out of the car, and tried to run away. He was taken into custody by Mooresville officers and a canine. Police said the driver, Christopher Clark, is the twin brother of the Corvette's registered owner. He was carrying a concealed handgun at the time of his arrest Saturday. Clark was taken to the Iredell County Jail and given a $50,000 bond. In Troutman, Police Chief Josh Watson and Parks and Recreation Director Emily Watson were recognized last week for saving the life of a runner whose heart stopped during the Sprint into Spring race. Town Manager Ron Wyatt thanked the pair for their efforts in saving the man who is now recovering. Wyatt also recognized Emily Watson's efforts in pushing staff training in CPR and first aid and acquiring the AED for the town. In other Troutman Council business, the council approved Sally Boyce's annexation of a rezoning request for 4 acres off Semi Drive. from suburban residential to town residential to match his adjoining properties, on which he plans to build 18 single-family homes. The council approved an amendment to its remote participation policy for town council members that removes a rule forbidding participation of members during public hearings or voting on zoning issues, and a provision that stated a remote vote of a member is not allowed if the deciding vote and that the notion must be continued to the next meeting when the deciding vote member is present. They also approved a request from the Troutman Exchange Club to hold its second annual Walk of Heroes community flag display from the Armed Services Day through Memorial Day along the Richardson Greenway. Also approved was a high-density watershed permit for the Dorian, a senior apartment project to be located on the southwest corner of Tally and Lytton Streets. Also approved a Southern Corrosion Company water tank maintenance contract for $44,000 for the first year of service, with subsequent years rising to the total of the prior year's cost plus a percentage of change in the consumer price index. Approved was an agreement for a temporary employment position to purge outdated records. Approved was a text amendment to the parking provisions that creates a new section requiring commercial parking lot maintenance. And also approved George Harris for a 3-year term on the design review board. In Cornelius, the Lake Norman Marine Commission, in partnership with the North Carolina State Aquatic Plant Management Program, will begin surveying Lake Norman the week of March 25th for Lingbaya, the unsightly blue-green algae that wreaks havoc with boaters and swimmers. People can report its presence to help create an effective treatment plan. Even if Lingbaya has not yet appeared this year, the commission asked people to report where it appeared last year. Bob Menzel and Bob Watson, Peninsula residents who helped organize the charge against Lingbaya, said reporting now is critical to success in eradicating the growth. In Lincolnton, Lincoln County leaders have concerns about the future of a dam supporting a small lake near High Shoals. The Carpenters Lake Dam is along Mirror Lake Drive in southern Lincoln County. On March the 11th, Lincoln County Emergency Management learned of a potential problem with the structure. Officials say an ensuing inspection of the dam at 9 p.m. that date discovered an emergency overflow pipe had eroded. Upon learning of the issues, local authorities immediately closed the road to through traffic at 9:30 p.m. The North Carolina Department of Transportation was notified and installed permanent road blockades. Lincoln County Emergency Management also notified the North Carolina Emergency Management regarding their concerns. The incident was deemed as a Priority 1 incident by North Carolina Emergency Management until further investigation by the Department of Environmental Quality. The next morning, the North Carolina Dam Safety Team conducting an inspection, and they told county officials that the dam is not in immediate danger of failure. North Carolina Dam Safety is contacting the owner to recommend immediate action to mitigate further degradation of dam structure. The department is concerned additional rains or flooding could potentially weaken the dam structure, causing a failure. Here locally, as temperatures rise in the Carolinas, cold-blooded wildlife will be waking up and snake season will soon be upon us. A reminder that a majority of the native snakes are completely harmless, and all of the snakes in North Carolina perform vital services for us in our ecosystem. If you see snakes, you're thinking of rounding them up, you're thinking of killing them, the Carolina Reptile Center asks that you call them, and they will come out for free and move and capture the snakes for you. They say no questions asked, no judgment offered, so give the Carolina Reptile Center a call if you're having any trouble with snakes. March Madness in the Queen City will open up Thursday, and Uptown will be filled with college basketball fans. Charlotte 49ers host first and second round games at the Spectrum Center this week for the men's NCAA tournament. The teams were announced in Sunday's selection show. Thursday's first round games will tip off at 12:15 p.m. Number 8 seed Mississippi State will take on number 9 Michigan State. Then at 2:45 p.m., number 1 seed, the Tar Heels of UNC, will face the winner of the Howard-Wagner matchup that's scheduled for tomorrow. At 6:50 p.m. on Thursday, number 7 Texas will hit the court against the winner of the Virginia and Colorado State game. Rounding out the day, number 2 Tennessee will tip off against number 15 St. Peter's at 9:20 p.m. Second round games will be played on Saturday with times to be determined. And that begins, well, right after tournament play begins the national part of March Madness, as the NCAA tournament is on our doorstep there. And there's a whole lot, I'm sure, coming up about this at the top of the hour on the scoreboard with Joe Berg, who is alongside through the glass and on the mic. Joe, how you doing tonight, buddy? How's the scoreboard looking?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I'm excited for the week that we have coming up.
Yeah, big sports week. It was a big sports weekend, and you've got so much more coming up here.
It was a big weekend. It was a big Friday. It was a big Saturday, Sunday. Monday's big. Every day this week is big. So we have plenty to go over on the scoreboard.
Is 1 hour enough for the scoreboard tonight?
It's going to have to be.
Yeah. Well, it seemed to be like bursting at the seams. Could this roll over to Tuesday and Wednesday?
It probably will. We have quite a bit to get through. Man, the championship games for the division tournaments, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Now we got the NCAA tournament. We got the NIT tournament as well. Some local area schools in that one. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there was a really good NASCAR race on Sunday.
I heard something about that. Yeah. Almost had another tire gate situation, but it actually added to the entertainment.
You know, it was awesome. I'll just say that right now. It was amazing. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Oh, I got to hear this. I mean, not now, but on the scoreboard. People, don't change that dial because the scoreboard is coming up. A little bit of tire action in NASCAR. Yeah, I was thrilled that they were off the dirt back on the concrete myself, so that was good.
Yeah, and you know what? It added to the lore, I guess, of the spring Bristol race. Because this one was unlike any other.
Yeah. Well, there's history in the darkness in the fall in August or September. Great spring race in the daytime. Scoreboard coming up at the top of the hour. And tomorrow, a little bit of a tease, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern time with Good Morning LKN. Justin Kazepas will not be there. I will fill in with Mamie Lee and producer Bill. We'll see you tomorrow here on News Drive at 5 and 7 a.m. I'll be on Good Morning LKN. Talk to you then.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.